Your attention to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4, and we will be studying verses 42 through 44. 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 42 through 44. Continuing our study on the life and ministry of the prophet Elisha. I am never at a point in my studies throughout the week where I am not left dumbfounded with how many truths can be extracted from only a few verses. And originally I desired that this portion of Scripture, verses 42 through 44, would be connected with last week's lesson, but the more that I stared at it, the more that I poked at it, the more I saw that there were some great principles, a number of principles that we could bring out in one lesson. And so we're going to do that tonight, and we're going to look at biblical principles regarding giving. Biblical principles regarding giving. And I know that there is often that stigma, that false assertion of, well, the pastor, the church, all they talk about is giving and money, and all they want is your money. And if you certainly put my sermons on the scale, you will see that only a couple have been specifically on the area of financial giving. But we have a beautiful account here, which brings out many wonderful truths regarding this Christian responsibility that God has given to us, the responsibility of handling our finances and our possessions in the right way. So let's read here our text, 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning in verse 42. And the Bible says, "And there came a man from Baal Shalisha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley and full ears of corn in the husk thereof. And he said, Give unto the people that they may eat. And his servitor said, What? Should I set this before 100 men? He said again, Give the people that they may eat. For thus saith the Lord, They shall eat and shall leave thereof. So he set it before them, and they did eat, and left thereof according to the word of the Lord." And we are going to look at biblical principles regarding giving. Now, specifically, we will be speaking of financial giving, but as we speak of giving, we also remember that there is the giving of our time and the giving of our energy and efforts to the Lord. So as we move through these principles, while we are making, in the first place, an application to financial giving, the believer's responsibility to give to the Lord financially, you can take these financial principles and then tie them over to the area of giving of our time and our energy to the Lord. I see in this text several important principles regarding giving, and these are principles that will help us greatly in our walk with the Lord. The first one that I see is the spirit of giving. And this is illustrated with this man in verse 42, this man who comes to Elisha. It says, "There came a man." This man came from a distance to the man of God, to Elisha, and this man brought with him bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley, and full ears of corn in the husk thereof. Now, the first question we must answer is, why was there such an offering given to Elisha at all? Well, remember, God commanded through the law of Moses that his people were to give an offering to the Lord, to the priest, of that which God had prospered them. During the time in which this account occurred, there was no official temple dedicated to the Lord. Again, this was a pagan land, and there was a remnant in this time of Elisha. There was a physical famine going on, but there was also a spiritual famine. As we looked previously at the time of Elijah, we saw the reign of Jezebel and wicked Ahab, and there were false idols and false gods set up in the land. The children of Israel turned their back on the Lord. They were disobeying the word of God. And so this was a very pagan land, a very dark land spiritually. And so we have an account here of this man bringing the offering or a sacrifice to Elisha. Now, why would he give it to Elisha? Well, because there was no physical temple for him to bring it to, as the law of Moses commanded. So the next best thing to do was to give to those involved in the Lord's work, the prophets, the school of the prophets, the servants of God, those who were faithful to the word of God. And within this verse, verse number 42 in the first part, we find three important aspects of the spirit we ought to have when we give to the Lord and His work. Notice it here. The first is we ought to give to honor the Lord. In our giving, we ought to give to honor the Lord. This man's primary purpose for giving is to honor the Lord. He wants to be faithful to the word of God. He knows the law of Moses. He can't fulfill the law of Moses completely, bringing it to a priest, bringing it to the house of worship, but he wants to stay faithful nevertheless. And so this man understands that all that he has is from the Lord, that there is nothing that he possesses that he has first not received from the hands of a gracious Heavenly Father. This man knows that every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is neither variableness, neither shadow of changing. And this is the primary reason why we give. At least it ought to be the primary reason why we give, to honor the Lord. We don't give simply because there is a need, though sometimes we do give to meet needs. We do not merely give out of duty, though we ought to give because it is our duty and it is our responsibility. It is the way in which God has ordained that we give to the Lord. But you see, the primary reason of our giving is to honor the Lord. It is to say, Lord, you have given me everything that I have. I acknowledge that, and because of what you've given to me, I'm going to give back to you. And we see this principle brought out in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 9, the Bible says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Well, we often think when we honor the Lord, we honor the Lord with our life, with how we live, with how we speak. We honor the Lord by obeying His word. We honor the Lord by being a part of a local congregation, by being a part of a family of God. But the scriptures are clear that we also honor the Lord in the area of our finances. We honor the Lord with what we have. And this is brought out in the law in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 22. And thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, and of thine oil, and the first fruits of thy herds and of thy flocks. Notice, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. So God tells us through Moses, God wants us to give so that we can learn to fear Him. This is a very important principle. This is the beginning place of our financial giving. We give to honor the Lord. We give so that we might learn to fear God. And then we see here in our text that we give, or we ought to give, of our best. And notice what this man brought. He brought the first fruits, the best. This man did not bring the leftovers. He did not give only one or two items to Elisha and the school of the prophets. No, he gave sacrificially, and he gave sacrificially during a difficult time. Again, a time of famine. And here he is bringing a great offering to the Lord through his servant Elisha. And so we see something of this man's faith here, don't we? We see his loyalty to the Lord, his love for the Lord. And we see that in his giving his best. It is sometimes an unfortunate thing, a sad thing, but a very true thing that people sometimes give their leftovers to the Lord. I don't know of any recent situations here, but I have heard in places past where the church refrigerator goes out and somebody says, I have a refrigerator that's been sitting in my garage for 20 years. Why don't you have that refrigerator and it will be a blessing to the church? And the maintenance man tries to hook it up in the church and finds out there are leaks and all sorts of problems, and the individual meant well, but it wasn't the best. Or perhaps the church kitchen needs a new microwave, and so somebody goes through the time of searching down the best microwave that one can have, and they buy that microwave for themselves, for their own household, and then they give the church their old microwave with spaghetti sauce exploded everywhere inside. It's laughable, and we laugh at things like that, but often it's true. And don't misunderstand me, the church ought not to be greedy. It ought not to be like the White House or the Royal Palace and needing the most glamorous items, the most expensive things. But it's sad when people give their best to themselves while placing the place where soul-changing ministry happens on a lower level. As God's people, we have to strive to give our best. Not only financially, again, not only financially, but in our time, in our energy. When do we give God our worship? When do we pray? When do we spend time in the Word of God? Is it when we've gone through our day and now we're exhausted and our mental capacities are failing? Or is it in the morning when our time, when our mind is most fresh and we have the vigor to worship the Lord? When do we labor for the Lord? Is it when we're tired and weary and then we can just fit it in our schedule when our calendar allows us to serve the Lord? Or do we seek to give God time throughout the week in which we have strength? God deserves our best. He has given so much to us. God the Father, in a sense, gave his best. Christ Jesus, the perfect Prince of Peace. Christ Jesus, when he was on earth, he gave his best. He gave his all to the disciples. He gave his best hours of his time to worship the Father, leaving the crowd, going into a high place, into a mountain, going into a desert place, and worshiping the Lord. It is only our reasonable service to give back to God in the same way he has given to us. So we ought to give of our best. This man gives of the first fruits. He gives of his best. And what a lesson that is for us to learn in the area of giving. But then we see that we ought to give not desiring to be recognized by men. Notice it here. Verse 42, the first few words. The Bible says, there came a man. Well, what's his name? We want to write his name on the plaque here next to the school of the prophets. We want his name so we can have his name heralded on the chapel building of the school of the prophets. What's his name? So we can herald his name through the ministry report that is due next month. No, there's none of that. There was a man. There came a man who gave. That's all it says. And what a beautiful picture here we have of giving for the Lord and not for ourselves. We give not to be seen of men. Remember the widow who gave of her two mites. What was her name? We don't know. What about the lad who gave his lunch to Jesus? What was his name? We don't know. What about that widow who helped the prophet Elijah? What was her name? What about the widow we just read in the beginning of this chapter? The widow who helped Elisha, the one who housed Elisha. What was her name? All it says, a Shunammite woman. We don't know. What about the Philippian jailer? You remember when Paul led him to the Lord? He was saved and then baptized, he and his family. And then the Philippian jailer brought Paul and Silas into their house. He fed them well. He housed them. What was his name? We don't know. And that's okay. The principle we have here is we don't give to be recognized by men. We don't give to be praised and applauded. And this is what Jesus spoke of in Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Remember, take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. An important truth. Jesus is giving because there is a very real and subtle temptation to give so that we might be recognized. And we need to acknowledge that. There is a subtle temptation. I have been in circumstances in which missionary needs support, or there's a need at a camp, and the pastor gets up and says, we're going to have a time in which we raise money for this project, for this missionary, for this camp. All right, who wants to give $1,000? Anybody? Oh, yes, $1,000. Thank you, sir. Yes, all right. Who else? Oh, $5,000. Thank you. Yes, sir. $100. Yes. And somebody says, I can give 50 cents. All right, we'll take that. I appreciate that. Okay, who else? Oh, $10,000. Okay, thank you. I just see those things as giving to be seen of men. And we need to be careful of that. And we don't give to be noticed or applauded or praised. We give with the right spirit. And the right spirit, according to the Scriptures, is to give from our heart to the Lord. And this spirit is the spirit of Psalm 115, verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. In John 3:30, remember, he must increase, but I must decrease. Oh, there's a great testimony in those who have much and they give, but they don't do it to be seen. And I can tell you instances in my life where I have seen that in people who fear the Lord greatly. I can tell you a number of stories in which they've come to me privately and they say, we want to be a blessing to the church. Please don't tell anyone. And we want to help this brother or sister in Christ. Please don't tell anyone. And there's so much that happens behind the curtain. And it's a wonderful thing. It's a humble thing. It's an honoring thing. And that's what we see here with this man. This man who's not named. There came a man and he gave. We ought to give to honor the Lord and to be a blessing. We don't give to get. We don't give to be known. So we see first the spirit of giving. We honor the Lord. We give of our best. And we give not to be seen or recognized by men. But then we see the manner of giving in Elisha. So we see the spirit of giving in this man, but then we see the manner of giving in Elisha, verses 42 and 43. And here, when Elisha receives this gift, the first fruits of this man's offering, Elisha gives to the other men. Notice it says, and he said, give unto the people that they may eat. What do we learn? Elisha received, but he didn't receive with a clenched fist, did he? He received and he gave. Elisha did not hoard the gift for himself. Well, this is my offering. I'm the man of God. I'm the one training you. Sit back. Go. You're right. We just looked at the verses. Go find your own pottage. Go find your own gourds. Make your soup again. This is for me. No. Elisha receives. Elisha understands. This is from the Lord. And we're all going to partake in it together as a gift from God. He gave unselfishly so that others might profit and be encouraged. Freely he received, freely he gave. And Elisha is not as the one that is described in the book of James. You remember in the book of James, who has, that man who has, but yet says to his brother, be ye warm and filled. No, Elisha does not shut up his bowels of compassion. Rather, he exercises the sincerity of his faith by giving. And that's the context of James. James is speaking about what true Christianity looks like, what true Christian faith is. And true Christian faith loves God and loves others, right? True Christian faith seeks to love others as self. That's Elisha right here. He could hoard it to himself, but no, he's going to love others. As a spiritual teacher, he's going to set the example. I'm sure there were lessons in his school of ministry, with the school of the prophets, where he taught on the area of giving. But what is the most powerful lesson any group of people can learn? It's through example. Okay, Elisha, you can tell us this, but let's see it. And here's an opportunity for Elisha to put his teaching into practice, to put something tangible before the eyes of these young men that would leave an impact in their hearts so that when they are put in a position like this, that they will do the same. And their example will teach others. And we see here again the lesson of stewardship versus ownership. This can be a difficult lesson for the Christian to learn, right? Well, this is mine. I've earned it. I've worked hard. This is my house. This is my car. These are my possessions, and I'll do what I want, how I want to do it. Okay, well, God gave you strength to work. He gave you the finances. He gave you, yes, your home. He gave you your car. But have you ever considered that you are to be a steward? Can you use your home for hospitality? How about your car? Can you use your car to be a blessing to others? Somebody needs groceries. Somebody needs a ride to church. Yes. Oh, that spirit of generosity. This is a Christ-like spirit. And this man who's not named, and in Elisha, a Christ-like spirit of giving because Christ gave unselfishly. He left the glories of heaven, Philippians chapter 2. He came to earth. He dwelt among those who hated him. He died a cruel death for the salvation of souls. And Christ gave unselfishly. He gave of his time and his energy to the disciples. He gave virtue went out of him so that others might be healed. He was very generous. And what did Christ have? Not even a pillow for his head. What an example. And we see here also in Elisha, not only that he gives unselfishly, but he gives by faith. Oh, here's an important area regarding financial giving. And his servant said, what, shall I set this before 100 men? This is not enough. He said again, give the people that they may eat. For thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and shall leave thereof. In other words, I'm guessing this is Gehazi here that is spoken of. We have a very limited amount, Elisha, and we have 100 men to feed. How is this going to work? right? And this is a foreshadow of the New Testament account of the feeding of the... What are these among so many? A few fish, a couple loaves, what are we going to do? What are these? How is this going to work out? But Elisha's words, notice, Elisha's words, thus saith the Lord, is showing us that he is giving with a heart that is trusting in the Lord completely. He's trusting in God to provide. Elisha trusts that God alone has the power to multiply. He gives by faith. Just do it. Watch and see. God has given us this food, and we have this many people here. And I don't think God is of that nature to give it just to a portion of people. No, God is going to provide for their needs. So just hand it out. God will take care of the rest. By faith. We must give by faith. Now let's talk about this. What does this mean? Now, we're familiar with that phrase. Give by faith. Give by faith. What does it look like? Well, let me tell you what it is not. What giving by faith is not. Giving by faith is not neglecting to think about what you are giving. Regarding finances, I mean, that's just throwing in a dollar here or there, not even thinking about how much money you've earned and what you have in your wallet, not preparing to give. You just throw a dollar here, you throw a dollar there, hoping that God is pleased with something that you've given. That's not giving by faith. In our worship and service for the Lord, coming to church here and there, whenever I feel like it, in our service, just all just come every couple months and just do something. No, that's not by faith. Faith requires sacrifice. And giving by faith is not calculating to the penny. So you don't go over, right? You don't want to go over one penny. God said 10%, so let me do the calculation. Let me check it 10 times because we don't want to go over not one. Okay, now there are times when we're tight. But if we're so worried about going over one penny, is that really giving by faith, trusting in the Lord? Giving by faith is not giving a great deal of money, great portion, finances, and then complaining to everyone how you struggle to make it. That's not giving by faith. You know, well, I just gave $1 million to the offering now. Woe is me, I don't have anything to wear next week. I need food for my cabinet. And it's like, well, if you give that, you give sacrificially, that's the Lord leading you, but don't complain about it to everybody. So what is giving by faith? Well, giving by faith is trusting in what God has ordained in His Word. Being obedient and giving to the Lord. Now, some people want to debate. Is it 10%? Do we give 10%? Some argue night and day. And these theologians, these young preacher boys, are we still under the law? Are we to give 10%? And they debate this. No, I don't think we are. And they say, we don't need to give 10%. We're not under the law. And I find that those who are kicking against it do so because they don't want to give 10%. I think if we looked at the New Testament, we would see that those New Testament Christians gave more than 10%. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 16:2, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. I think Jesus expected others to give at least 10%. And giving by faith is giving when it does not make sense. When we question, how is this going to work out? I know God wants me to give. I know I ought to be responsible in this area. But I don't understand how it's all going to work out. Well, that's giving by faith. Being obedient when things are tight. Elisha had no idea how this was going to work out. But Hebrews 11, what is it? Hebrews 11, by faith. By faith. By faith. Stepping out. Trusting in God. Romans chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. We see a definition of faith. Believing that what God has promised, that He is able to perform. God, you've... This is Elisha. God, you've promised to meet our needs. God, you've promised that we shall not go without food. We're doing your will. We're seeking to honor you. And so we are trusting that you will provide. And so they cast their bread on the waters. And what happens? God provides. True faith, notice here also, does not stumble at the unbelief of others. The servant says, how is this going to work out? Elisha could have stepped back and said, yeah, you're right. I don't know. Let's think through this a little bit. No, his faith remains strong. And often when we exercise faith, we're going to have others come across our path who will question our faith. Are you doing right? You're giving to the Lord sacrificially, but you know, you could have that nice boat. You could have that bigger house. And our faith, when we exercise that faith, it's tested. And God wants to see, again, the sincerity of our heart. He wants to see our faithfulness. And there are times in giving when we must be led of the Spirit. All right? There are times when God may put it on our heart to give more than we have. Again, we need to be sensitive to the Spirit, led of the Lord, submitted to His Word. But giving by faith is denying self. All right? It's denying self regarding fashions and clothes. We don't need the $100 ripped jeans with mud on them. We don't need the $50 ball cap that's already ripped and it's tipped. All right? We can rip it ourselves. We can find something better at the thrift store. I'm not sure how these fashions start in the first place. I could be a millionaire if I think of something silly like that. Not offending anybody who may wear ripped jeans with mud on it. I hope not. But we can cut back. We can be a blessing to others. Do we need the most expensive of foods, or can we cut back so that we can give to the Lord, so that we can give to others? I mean, you think Jesus cut back on sleep to minister. And those sacrifice so that others may have. And if we can trust God with our soul, surely we can trust God with our finances and our possessions. And that's what it really boils down to. We have trusted God with the keeping of our souls, our eternal destination, and surely we can trust God with the physical, with that which is going to be gone one day. And so Elisha gives in a time of famine. And he gives at the time of famine, and he does so watching God perform a miracle, and God miraculously provides. And let me give you the third point. We see, thirdly, the reward of giving, verse 44. Verse 44, the reward of giving. So we see in this man the spirit of giving. We see in Elisha the manner of giving. And then we see in God, verse 44, the reward of giving. So he set it before them, Elisha set it before them, and they did eat and left thereof according to the word of the Lord. God always honors our giving. It may seem sometimes that he does not, but he does. And it seems many are so afraid of being mixed in with the false prosperity teaching of our days that we forget to acknowledge the fact that God honors faithfulness and sacrificial giving. All right, we don't want to proclaim that we give to get. Right? Send me your money and you'll have a miracle. Send me your paychecks and I'll send you this water from Jerusalem and you can pour it and it'll heal any disease. You know, that's the prosperity. You know, if you want your prayers answered, send me money right now in this blessed hour. And no, we don't get it mixed in with that. But we do see from Scripture that God does honor faith and God does honor sacrificial giving. God does bless when we give. And this is a New Testament principle. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. There it is. That's not a prosperity text as we see it on TBN. No, this is a truth given from the lips of Jesus Christ. And in our account, God did not overlook the man's giving of the substance. It does not say that the man or Elisha received physical substance as a reward for their giving. I think it is safe to say that they received something far greater. What did they receive? Well, they didn't receive a Bentley for giving this first fruit offering. They saw something greater. They saw God meet a great need. They saw a miracle. They were humbled and grateful to be a part of it. And what a blessing it is when we give to the Lord, to the work of Christ, and we see souls saved. What a blessing. What a humbling experience that is. When we give, Kyle Sheridan will have his service in a few weeks, and we've had a part in giving to this building fund. And souls may be saved that day. And surely souls will be saved in the years to come. People baptized, and what a blessing it is to be a part of that. What a blessing to give to missionaries financially and hear reports on the prayer letters of the gospel going to unreached tribal groups. And we've had a part of that. There's an inward spiritual satisfaction knowing that God somehow in His grace uses us. That's a miracle in itself. And He gives to us so that He can give through us. And what a privilege this is. God knows our needs. And God meets our needs. God honors those who honor Him. We have that right here. So in conclusion, let me leave you with a final thought. Giving Christians are the most joyful Christians. Stingy Christians are the most sour Christians. Now, do you know what the difference between the Dead Sea and the Sea of Galilee is? You've heard this before. The Sea of Galilee is just north of the Dead Sea. And both the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea receive their water from the Jordan River. The Sea of Galilee is appealing to the eye. It's filled with marine life. And in fact, it's said that it is home to over 30 different types of fishes. The Dead Sea, not so appealing to the eye. The Dead Sea has no fish, no vegetation around it, hence the name Dead Sea. Smart. It is so high, the Dead Sea, and it's so highly volume of salt. The content there is high that you've seen pictured people just floating in the Dead Sea. And there's so much salt there. There's no life. Same region, same source of water flowing into it, right? One is full of life, the other is dead. The River Jordan flows into the Sea of Galilee and then flows out. The water passes through, keeping the sea healthy and vibrant. The Dead Sea, however, has no outlet. The water flows in from the Jordan River, but does not flow out. Sound familiar? Speaking of giving, finances, giving of our time, giving of our energy, if we are all take and no give, we're going to die spiritually. That is just how God has created things. And have you witnessed this in your life? I have in my life, those times where I'm under the preaching and I'm learning things, sitting at the feet of Jesus, and here's the balance of that Mary Martha situation. Yes, we do sit at the feet of Jesus. We do spend time in His Word, but then we give. We receive and we give. We put our faith in action. We tell others of Christ. We serve through the ministry of a local church. We exercise those gifts that God has given to us. We don't only receive. And that's the danger that we're facing in today's Christianity. Give it to me now. Have it your way. I just want to benefit from the preaching. I want everybody to serve me. Just give me, give me, give me, give me. But they don't want to serve. They don't want to sacrifice. They don't want to give. Everybody else can give. We love the choir. Oh, great choir. But oh, no, no, no. Oh, the Sunday school teachers, dude, they're doing a great job. But no, no, no. The soul winners are great. I'm grateful they're out there on the highways and the byways. I'm grateful for the pastoral staff or the secretary, the bus drivers, the nursery workers. Oh, yes, but not me. And you see, eventually, something going on within their heart and soul. Things begin to die. And D.L. Moody says, what makes the Dead Sea dead? Because it is all the time receiving, neither or never giving out anything. And he says, why is it that many Christians are cold? Because they are all the time receiving, never giving out anything. Again, more than just finances, but giving of time, giving of energy, giving of the possessions. Are there people in our church who struggle financially? Can we help them? Winter time is cold. Does somebody need a coat? Somebody need a meal? Somebody need encouragement? We like to be encouraged by others. But what about us? Can we encourage? We want souls to be saved, and we amen the pastor when he says, yes, outreach is coming. We amen the pastor when he speaks about souls being saved, but what about us? Do we hand out a gospel tract? Are we looking for souls to be saved? Are we giving? Are we giving? Something to consider. Oh, this is so important. This area of giving. I pray that God would help us to remember these principles as we continue to walk with Him. May we learn to give, honoring the Lord. May we give of our best. May we give unselfishly and sacrificially. May we give by faith. And may we give not seeking any recognition. And as we give, may we always remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in which He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And we will only know that if we truly obey that word and start giving ourselves. We will know the blessing of giving. Many people do not know the blessing that giving brings because they don't ever give. And so, right here, this text, verse 42, 43, 44, wonderful principles regarding the area of giving. Running the Christian race, many people develop problems in their hamstring, spiritually speaking, when they don't give in the right way. They drop out of the race, they slow down. And they do not run the race with patience. So let us learn these lessons sooner rather than later so that we might be blessed. And again, as I mentioned Sunday night, as I come here preparing a lesson like this, I feel like I'm preaching to the choir. And many of you are faithful givers. You're sacrificial givers. And so may this lesson just encourage you in that, not to lose this wonderful Christian attribute, this Christian virtue. As a church, may we be givers. May we give like this man who's unnamed. May we give like Elisha. And testimony of last year, God giving us a gift, a land, not because we deserve it, not because we've done anything. We don't give. We weren't expecting that at all. But again, a token of the Lord, token of His love, an encouragement to us. How God has prospered us here greatly as a church. And God continuing to prosper us because God honors obedience. So let's remember that. God honors our faithfulness. Father, we do thank You for Your word. Help us, Lord, to be givers. Lord, you are the greatest giver, and you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, into the world so that he might give himself. Lord, I pray that we would think about this topic, and Lord, help us to examine ourselves. I know there are always areas that we can give more time of prayer, more time encouraging others, more time in witnessing, examining our financial state and condition, examining, Lord, how we can be a blessing by giving meals to those who are without. And, Father, there are so many truths in the Word of God about supporting the poor and being a blessing when we have. Help us never to grow stingy or covetous so that we might forget this important truth. And Lord, I pray that you'd give us the spirit of Elisha here. Give us the spirit of this man who gave of the first fruits of his offering. And Lord, we pray that as a church we would give, and that we would understand that you've given to us so that we might give to others. Help us to be wise stewards. Lord, give us wisdom. Lord, we cry out, all of us, all that we have, our homes, our cars, our finances, Lord, give us wisdom to know how to use it wisely. We know that you don't expect everything to be given all the time. But Lord, you do ask us to do something with what we have. And so give us wisdom, give us discernment, so that we might use what we have to the honor and glory of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.